Is Don Hennessy biased against men? I'm Barbara Roberts. This is the chapter from my second interview with Don Hennessy, published on YouTube.
In our last interview, you described how you yourself suffered sexualized abuse from teachers in your early years at school and then also from men, and I'm guessing they were clergy or clergy in training, when you were training to be a missionary priest.
Yes.
Have you ever had anybody say to you, oh, you're biased, you came to this conclusion about male intimate abusers being primarily sexual offenders because of your own personal history of having been sexually abused? Has anyone accused you of that?
Not yet, but I think where I'm coming from is that I have, as I grow older, I have tracked these men who end up really, really alone and really, really shunned by society. And part of my initial mission was to see if I could encourage these men to be more open with the society that they lived in, and maybe they'd get some response that was healthy for them. But they never do. They don't change. They seem to go to their graves believing that what they did, they were entitled to do. And I think that's sad. They've only got one life, and I think it's an awful way to go through life and to end up very much emotionally alone. When dying is a very emotional experience, it would be nice to have some companion that would share it with you, but they don't.
Yeah. So just to clarify, you said these men, were you referring to the psychophiles or the paedophiles or both?
Both. Both. They all end up.
Good.
They all end up alone and abandoned by society, and they die alone.
That's been my observation too. Unless, of course, they've managed to find another target woman, got her under control so that she'll be with them as they get ailing and ill and, you know, right to the journey when they die.
Unfortunately, the most of the paedophiles or psychophiles who age, who mature, they don't develop any sort of emotional depth. And so even though this woman could be living with him in his dying years when he's 80 or more, she has no idea what he's lacking, and she has no idea how to give it to him. So she just responds to his requests and demands and doesn't add anything to his own experience of life.
Yeah. So even if he might have a domestic slave and sexual object living under his roof and taking care of him in his old age, of his outer physical and health needs, he's still alone.
Yes.
Now, if anyone does accuse you of being biased because of your personal history and therefore tries to, you know, throw your conclusions about these male intimate abusers into the rubbish bin because, oh, Don's biased, I reckon you could say to them, well, it took me years of working with these men and a lot of study and analysis before I came to that conclusion.
Not alone that, and it did take me a long, long time, but actually anybody that I've proposed this conclusion to has agreed with me. Eventually, I'm not sure everybody jumped in straight away, but bit by bit, if they were interested in the subject, they began to see that what I was saying made sense and what the experience of the abused woman, the target woman, is really encapsulated in how I approached it.
Brought to you by Barbara Roberts. Find me on Substack, my blog, cryingoutforjustice.blog, and my YouTube channel, Barbara Roberts Crying Out for Justice. Find my book at notunderbondage.com or Amazon. Thank you for listening.